Thank you very much for your kind words to me and the my law school, which I worked many years over there. Indeed, it is my great privilege and honor to be here. I am very thankful to Professor Cole Durham, who invited me here to participate in this conference. And the organizer had asked me to make a short presentation about the law and religion in the Nepal. So now I'm not going to make a long presentation with the academic analysis and all the everything about it. We have the extent of times and everything. So just I am going to present you the what the Nepalese position is in the regarding the law and religion in Nepal. And another important thing, as the previous speaker has maintained, that of course Nepal is in the transitional period. We have a long Maoist in the arms insurgency, and we have the just 2-3 years ago the Maoists has come into the peaceful accord, and they agreed to hold the constitutional assembly election and making a new constitutions. So now Nepal is in the political transitions. So it is very important for at this juncture the religious freedom and the position of religion in the Nepalese constitution and the law. So of course now Nepal is in the process of the making new constitutions. So as we know that among the 7 South Asian countries, Nepal is the one of them. Even among the South Asian countries, we have the, from the religious point of view, we have the different experience in whole of the regions. For example, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Maldives are the Islamic country. Sri Lanka and the Bhutan is a Buddhist country. India is a secular country. And the, till 2007, Nepal was a Hindu kingdom. So you can find the all sort of diversity within that small region. So whereas the religion in Nepal is a concern, one should not forget that the overwhelming population of Nepal is the Hindu. In the census of 1981, the Hindu population was around 89%. In the census of 1991, the Hindu population came down to about 86%. And the last census, which was held in 2001, the Hindu population still come down to 80%. The reasons of declining of the Hindu population is various. One reason may be the influx of the population was not the real one. And the down of the democracy, the constitutionally guarantee the right to the freedoms, and the religion psychology over, and the real picture emerged. That may be the one reason. Another reason may be that some people are very frustrated with the Hindu caste structure, and especially the lower caste people in they converted to the another religions. Maybe the reason, but it should be analyzed. It is just only the superficially I am telling you. But anyway, even in the within this, beside the Hindu, there are another 20%. Within this 20% also, the maybe the 10 to 11% are the Buddhist religion. And sometimes the Buddhist and Hindu religion are so much intermixed, it is very difficult to distinguish them also. Remaining 9 to 10%, which consist of the Christianity, Muslims, non-believers, and the nature worshippers, and so on. So within the estimated 28 million of population of Nepal, so the religion-wise, the population is divided in this ratio. Whereas, just I tell you that I am going to present you the legal and constitutional position of the religion freedom in the country. So legally speaking, Nepal has gone through the 6th constitutions and in the process of making the 7th one. First time, the codified law was promulgated in Nepal in 1854. It is that codified law in Nepali we call it the Mulki Ain. If you translate roughly, it comes to the national code. It has 63 chapters and 1,400 pages. So each chapters, some chapters deals with the criminal law, some with the criminal procedures, civil law, civil procedures, divorce, family affairs, everything that national code deals with each and everything about the law. If you go to, there are the two provisions about the religions in this national code before coming to the constitution, which are declared in the 1854. There are two provisions. One provisions, they guarantees all the Nepalese to practice their religions and faiths, which is they had, you know, they has transformed from ancient time to generation. It strictly, this is the unique position in Nepal, that it strictly prohibits conversion from one religion to the another religion. No matter whether it is voluntary or forcefully. My learned Indian justice is here. In India also there are some provinces, they do have the anti-conversion law, but the voluntary conversion is not registered as far as I know. Only the coercion or monetary or physical and any other things, that type of conversion is restricted. But in Nepal, the conversion, any type of, whether it is voluntary or forcefully or monetarily, whatever it is, the conversion from one religion to another religion is strictly prohibited from the very beginning of the promulgation of the law. Even in the constitutions, well, I already told you that we have gone through the sixth constitution. First three constitutions does not speak about religions. The constitution is completely silent on the religions issue. Neither is declared a, you know, the theocratic state, nor it is a secular state. It is the silent. Of course, there are some provisions they say that, of course, the individuals have the right to profess and practice the religions which they are practiced from ancient time, from generation, I know, which has come to them from generation to generation. Simply that says. Only the constitutions of 1962, it declares Nepal as a Hindu kingdom. It is the first time. It is historically. Before that, of course, everything was, of course, I already told you that the Nepalese society is predominantly the Hindi society. Hindu religious scripts, manuscripts, whatever the way, it has a tremendous impact on the society. But the legally and constitutionally, only in the 1963, Nepal was declared a Hindu kingdom. But the other legal provisions remains intact. Nothing has been changed. That means that it declares a Hindu kingdom, and it said that the king should be the adherent of either Aryan culture and the follower of the Hindu religions. So these are the two things which is binding to be the His Majesty the King. And that provision was remain up to the Constitution 1990. And after the drastic political change in the country, the new interim constitution was promulgated in the 2007, just 2 years ago. It declares Nepal as a republican state. Monarchical system was abolished. And the Nepal was declared an independent, indivisible, sovereign, secular state. Only the constitution declared itself as a secular state, but whereas the other provisions is concerned, it's remainly intact and nothing has been changed. The other provisions of the constitution, which includes right to the religions, Article 23.1 of the Constitution, it's clearly said that every person in Nepal has right to practice and profess the religions which come to him from ancient time or from generation to generation. And there is a, in the prohibitory proviso which explicitly said that the conversion from one religion to another religion is strictly prohibited. So the law and the constitution is Nepal is guarantee only right to profess and practice the religion which come to him from ancient time and from generation to generation. It completely prohibits the right to choose the religions of his or her choice. So this is the constitutional provisions which still remains. Though the Nepal was declared as a secular state, the understanding of secularism or secular state is always a very vague issue. Which modality of secularism is going to adapt Nepal? It is a big question. It is the big question before the constitutional drafters or maker or the constitutional assembly members. So now in the process that these people has to decide the which modality of secularism you're going to accept. For some people, the philosophy of secularism is an anti-religious and anti-God philosophy. For some people, the philosophy of secularism is to create to separate state from the religions, and the state has nothing to do with the religion. And some people, the philosophy of secularism is the state should remain impartial, neutral to all religions, and to protect and promote and support the all religions equally without any discrimination at all. So basically, these are the, broadly speaking, these are the things about the understanding of the secularism. But the Nepal is going to adopt the which kind of secularism, whether it is a Marxist secularism, which permits the anti-religious propaganda and prohibits the religious propaganda, either this type of secularism, or the secularism which separates the state from the religion. State is not going to help or even giving to the any taxpayer money to the any religious institutions or religious society, that type of secularism, or the secularism which support the all the religion equally, which type of secularism going to accept in Nepal. Till today, that question is open. But all the indication, it shows that though constitutionally Nepal is declared as a secular state now, but the constitution does not create a wall between the state and the religion. The constitution, the Nepalese concept of secularism is not the anti-God and anti-religious. So the only remaining thing is that the state should treat all the religious equally without any prejudice to the any particular religious and religious community. Not only to support the religious activity, and that thing is doing in the government in the different forms. For example, Muslims are going to Makkah, Medina. Government is subsidizing them to go there for traveling expense and other things. There are so many Hindu rituals and festivals. Government is giving certain money to organize these functions and other things. So government has to give to the other institution also the equally support or subsidization in form of different government can do all these things. This is one aspect. Another, there is a, as a lawyer, there is a, another big question in the Nepalese society is that whether the freedom to religions includes only to right to profess and practice the religion, or it includes right to choose the religions of his and her choice. That is also another very important question. Nepal, beside this, constitutional provisions and different legislative provisions, Nepal is a party to the many, signatory to the many international instruments, such as Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948, International Covenant on Political and Social and Political Rights in 1966, and so on. Especially, the Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights clearly said that the every person has a right to profess and practice the religions of his and her choice. That includes the right to choose the religion of his and her choice. We all know that Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights clearly said that the right to practice and profess the religions, that includes the right to choose the religions of his and her choice. But in Nepal, the constitutionally and the statutory, it is guaranteed only to profess and the practice the right, not the right to choose the religions of his and her choice. And another thing, if the Nepal is a signatory to this international instrument and the national law, constitution and other statutory provision is contradicted, then what will happen? For this, we have to look upon the Treaty Act of Nepal. Treaty Act of Nepal 1991, it is clearly says that if the country is a signatory to the international instrument, in that case, the international instrument explicitly gets the supremacy over the national law. Treaty Act is said. So now the Treaty Act is there, international covenant is there, instrument is there where Nepal is a signatory, and the national law is there. Which this triangle, what is the problem? The only simple way is the problem, the court has to go to the Supreme Court and Supreme Court has to interpret and say that, well, this is okay. There are several other issues. So these are the questions that are still open. But what is the way to get out all these things? I'm not going to say. I've already told you that just I am going to put you to the exact position of the Nepal. And this is one thing. And another thing, of course, we are in the constitution making process. This is my personal opinion also. I say that, of course, the Nepalese secularism, of course, in Nepal, it is declared as a secularism, secular state, just 2 years ago. The Nepalese secularism should not be anti-religious, anti-God, anti-religious institutions, or the complete separation of state from the religions also. Because the Nepalese social structure is still guided by the old values, norms, cultures, and traditions of Hindu religious and rituals, that one hand side. On other side, it has become a way of life not only for the followers of Hindus, followers of the other religions also. I told you that there are sometimes the Buddhism, Hinduism is very difficult to distinguish. Maybe some other religions, maybe not to that level, but even then it has so much mix up. So it is very difficult. So the country, though it is a secular state, it should not be an anti-religious state. It should give the equal treatment to the all religion institutions. Religions, whatever their societies or institutions or whatever they do have, the state should that and do that without any prejudice and any other things. So this is the exact position of about the law and the religions in Nepal. I think I make my presentation within the given time framework. I will be very happy if you have any questions or queries. I am very happy to respond to all your questions and queries. Thank you very much.